Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Well, after the hour, thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. This has been part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here on this Labor Day, 2018. I'm glad Ken Davis is here, too. Kenneth C. Davis is our good friend, longtime, 13-year-plus member of our Brain Trust. He's the go-to guy for historical insights and analysis. He's the founder and the purveyor of the awesomely, amazingly legendary Don't Know Much About series of books, including the children's books, which I have bought for my grandchildren. I encourage you to check those out. His new book, I'm pretty sure, is the one about the Spanish flu, More Deadly Than War. I think that's a brand new one. He's our good friend, Ken Davis. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jim, and that is the new one, More Deadly Than War, and even though we're not talking about this morning, it's a reminder that that flu, which was struck America and the rest of the world 100 years ago, really started gaining its tremendous violence around this time 100 years ago, yep. Primarily in army camps and ports where the troops were coming and going from Europe, because we were also in the last months of World War I. So these two very important events in American history come simultaneously 100 years ago in 1918, the most deadly epidemic in American history and the most one of the most deadly wars in American history. So that is the story I tell in More Deadly Than War.
Happened in my community, the one I'm from, exactly just as you said, same kind of a scenario. But it's Labor Day, folks, 2018, and Ken, as he does often, he joins us on different holidays and other times, of course, because we launched this book not too long ago. But Ken, it's Labor Day, and let's talk about that. Now, Labor Day is, of course, see, I'm the guy who writes the article every year, you know, big deal about Labor Day, but yet small business doesn't have an official day. What's wrong with that picture? I'm that guy, right? So I've been pressing that issue for 20 years. Small business doesn't have an actual day, not a real day for small business, not an official one. And so I think there's something wrong with that. But back to Labor Day, I do think it's important because we can't do anything as small businesses without our workers. We got to have them.
Well, Jim, you know, looking back over the course of American history, we have to think about the fact that this country was built by labor. I mean, there's no question about it. Abraham Lincoln said so himself in 1861. In a State of the Union message, he told the Congress that labor is the superior of capital and deserves much the higher consideration. Now, part of that was, of course, he was talking about the fact that slave labor still existed in America, right. And so those factors. But Lincoln really believed that, and it's important to remember also that the Republican Party really began as the party of the free white working man.
That's right.
We think of it as an abolitionist party, but that's not what it was. It was the party of the working man. So that's an important tradition in our history. But this day, Labor Day, is dated to an organized march in 1882 in New York City. A group of early union organizers, and unions were not well organized at the time. This is, of course, post-Civil War America. And they wanted a day off, but they were really marching to make clear that they wanted some basic things. They wanted to end the unsafe and unsanitary conditions in which people wanted. They wanted an 8-hour work day. They wanted a 5-day work week. They wanted an end to child labor, which existed in horrific terms all around this country. We think about child labor today.
All around the world. All around the world.
Yes. It is. It remains a bane around the world. But in the late 19th century and well into the 20th century, children as young as 9 and 10 worked in some of the most dirty, dangerous conditions in America. Coal mines. Kids got into coal mines because they were small. They could get into the crevices where no one else could go. They were required to go into the big looms in the textile factories. If a machine broke, they could get in there. Children that Jane Addams, the social reformer, wrote about working in candy factories in Chicago, falling into the vats of candy. And she writes very plaintively in her famous book about Hull House about little girls who don't even want candy for Christmas because they've spent 9, 10, 12-hour days making candy.
But these, were global. The U.S. didn't own the franchise on that. These were global things.
Oh, no, not at all. And, of course, it still continues around the world
today.
The
unions didn't sprout up from America either. They were born of the guild system, weren't they, originally?
That's correct. The ancient idea, certainly in Europe, of guilds, that if you were a certain craft worker, you went through the apprenticeship, then you went through a period of time of learning, and then you got into that guild, and that was a sinecure. Mm-hmm. And let's just skip, though, from 1882. It takes 12 years for this idea of Labor Day, and the reason that the first Monday in September was chosen by the unions was it was the day that sort of fell midway between July 4th and Thanksgiving. Basically, the only other two of the only other days that any working people had off. 4th of July was a holiday in America. Thanksgiving was a holiday in America. Of course, Christmas as well. But so it was this midway point between the two days that some people might expect to have a free day. And so that's why September was initially chosen. This law was signed into effect in 1894 by President Grover Cleveland.
Let me ask you a question. Let me stop you for a second.
Yes.
Prior to the law, when they took the day off, they took it without pay. Did the law require them to be paid after that, or did that come later?
Let's be clear. When there's a federal holiday, a so-called national holiday, that really only applied to federal workers. It meant that there was a day off for federal workers. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the rest of the country often took its cue from that. So for federal workers, yes, Labor Day became a paid holiday. That did not mean that every company in America had to offer it.
The bricklayers and welders didn't necessarily get that, did they?
That is correct. Of course, tradition then dictated over time that this became. Now, let me just explain.
Hold on that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to come back and talk about this after the break with our good friend Ken Davis. Kennessee Davis is our friend. Don'tknowmuch.com. Is that right, Ken, your website?
That is the website.
All right, so check it out. These books are available wherever books are sold, wherever fine books are sold. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.